Hello and welcome to a live presser weekly held by Hassan Gashqavi, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, in which he's answering reporters' questions. We go straight in to take a listen in.
Regarding the fact of some interfering comments of some Western powers like Britain and the news to the effect that some foreign embassies in Tehran, specifically Britain, they have given shelter to rioters. Isn't it time for the Islamic Republic to review ties with such countries like Britain? And another question is, what will Iran finally do regarding the Afghanistan summit that is to be held in Italy? Well, regarding the first question of yours, of course, arranging foreign trips is part of the domestic affairs of each country, but given the fact, considering the comments made by the Zionist leaders before making this trip to Azerbaijan and their emphasis on affecting and also their threatening, given the fact that Azerbaijan is a neighbor of Iran and they have borders, the two countries have borders, it's quite natural for us to actually evaluate more precisely such visits, and in regulating our ties, it won't leave unaffected. It will have an effect. Regarding the second issue, right now, I just left an extraordinary session of the Supreme Council and the foreign policy of the Parliament. There we talked to the respected minister and the guests of the Foreign Commission of the Parliament. We met together and we discussed various aspects of interfering acts of Western countries before the election, during and after the election in three spheres of political and official sphere, intelligence, and also in media sphere. We presented Parliament a report, necessary evidence and documents were presented by the respected minister, and Parliament is now precisely looking into various aspects of foreign interference in this issue. What was your third question? Well, the issue of Afghanistan for us and efforts to settle, to come up with an all-sided and comprehensive settlement of the issue of Afghanistan and return of restoration of peace and quiet in that country, it's important to us. We have extended invitation. They have extended invitation to Foreign Minister Muttaqi to take part in the foreign ministerial meeting of G8. He has received the invitation. Mr. Muttaqi will make his decision by the end of this week whether to attend or not attend that meeting, and we will give you the information. We heard about an explosion in Iraq's Kirkuk in which some Shia Muslims were killed. What's Iran's stance? The second question is expulsion of some European ambassadors issue. Will the Iranian foreign minister take any measure to that effect? Is this going to be discussed in that certain commission in Parliament? Will we condemn this explosion? Any move aimed at fanning up insecurity and unrest in the neighboring and brotherly country of Iraq, in the eyes of the Islamic Republic, it's condemned. We condemn that, and we think that Baathist groups and atheist groups with an aim to raise ethnic tension, this is why they're committing such crimes in Iraq, and we do believe that with the exit of occupiers from Iraq and with giving the realms of the affairs to the Iraqis and taking heed of Iraq's independence and territorial integrity and taking over the affairs by the Iraqi government, they themselves can very well restore security and peace in their own country. And any step to that line, which brings security and peace in that country. We endorse that and we support it. And we and the victims of the incident and those who were wounded in this incident, we sympathize with those people. And we condole the families of the victims. Well, this issue is being looked into, as the Parliament Speaker said yesterday. It's being examined now. Before making any decisions, I cannot tell you anything about it. Unlike recognized international norms, well, you know, in many European countries and also in America, instead of inviting people to resort to democratic mechanisms, instead of showing them, leading them legal means and comments, instead they support part of the writers. We think that the real supporters of candidates are the united crowds of the Iranian people, and they should not be equalized to those people who are seeking riots in the streets. Abiding by the law and inviting everyone to democratic mechanisms is the right thing to do. Iran has a high capacity of solving the problems democratically. Spreading anarchy and vandalism by Western powers and also Western media, these are not at all accepted. This is not the first time elections are held in Iran. You witnessed in the presidential campaign between Al Gore and Bush what a tight race that was, and no one in that race encouraged American people to stage a riot or anything like that. And it was actually the court verdict that solved the issue. 4 years later, there was a competition between John Kerry and Bush. People in Los Angeles, when they woke up in the morning, a major part of people in Los Angeles, unlike other states in the United States, they had voted for John Kerry, whereas the majority of the votes of some other states went to Mr. Bush. I don't want to compare this with what happened to our own candidates, but in Los Angeles, no country provoked the people of Los Angeles just because they voted for John Kerry. Nobody provoked them to rise against other states and take any measures, do anything against them. We have not forgotten these, and we think that the high turnout of the people, the participation of 40 million people, that means 85% turnout in this presidential election, is like a brilliant gem which is shining on the peak of dignity of the Iranian nation. And we won't allow Western media to turn this gem into a worthless stone and give it to some opportunist people so that they could break the glass on the home turf. This is an Arabic question.
أستاذ قشقاوي، هل سنشهد خطوات أخرى من الدبلوماسية الإيرانية باتجاه وقف التدخلات الأجنبية بالشأن الداخلي الإيراني؟ هذا سؤال. سؤال الآخر، كيف تردون على تمنيات بريز ونتانياهو اللذين تمنيا زوال النظام الإسلامي وبرنامجه النووي؟ وشكرا لك.
Regarding the first question, what's the interaction of Iran toward foreign interference? Well, I said that right now in Parliament there is a meeting, and the evidence is presented by the Foreign Ministry, by the Foreign Minister and his deputies, and this is a joint decision to be made between Parliament and Foreign Minister. Regarding Netanyahu's position that asked for the toppling of the Islamic establishment, well, yes, the Zionist regime, like some Western powers, tried to not to adopt any stance in the past few days, but ever since they feel that calm is coming back, they have entered the scene themselves directly, and they're making direct threats in order to actually counter restoration of calm to the country. This will get nowhere. The Iranian people have a high capacity. This is not the first election held here. On average, in the past 30 years after the Islamic Revolution, we have had elections almost once a year on average. These are some, we can call it family problems. This is a great family of Iran. And family members can, through legal means and democratic ways, settle their own problems, and that will happen. I want to return to the situation in Iraq. My question will be in Arabic.
وقفت إلى جانب الشعب العراقي عندما مررنا بكوارث سابقة مثل كارثة جسر الأئمة حوالي 1000 شهيد وكارثة المستنصرية الجمهورية الإسلامية وقفت إلى جانب الشعب العراقي وقدمت مساعدات الآن نمر بكارثة وتحدثتم عنها كارثة تازة مدينة تازة واقع بحقيقة هي كارثة بكل معنى الكلمة يعني الشهداء والجرحى تقريبا مدينة دمرت بأكملها فهل ما هي الإمكانات التي تعرفون أن الوضع الصحي في العراق والمستشفيات إمكاناتها بسيطة هنالك من فقدت أطرافهم هنالك من فقدت عيونهم يعني فاجعة بمعنى الكلمة فما هي الإمكانات التي ممكن أن تقدمها الجمهورية الإسلامية لهذه المدينة المنكوبة
I think the question refers to what's happened in Iraq recently and if Iran is going to extend any assistance. Well, Iran has always helped the people of Iraq in various stages. Now that they have faced numerous problems, including health and medical aid. What measures will the Islamic Republic take in order to continue and extend cooperation to Iraq? That was the question. Well, in all exchanges of high-ranking delegates between Iran and Iraq, the issue of expanding cooperation and using Iran's facilities in order to solve our brothers and sisters in Iraq, especially in the field of medical supplies and health, we have paid special attention to this. It's given priority. You know that in Iran we have great facilities, which is called tourism, and actually medical tourism, if we can call that in Iran. We offer great services to the whole world. It's on our agenda to actually send equipment and also help construct hospitals in Iraq, and our health ministry is quite active so that with the help of our Iraqi brothers and their health ministry, we will be able to extend the help they need. This has always happened. It's possible for us, based on law, we will accept the wounded in our country, we'll admit them to our hospitals, of course, based on the agreement between us. I don't know if this question is asked. Yesterday we had in the news that some foreign embassies in Tehran, in the past 2-3 days, they have given shelter to rioters. You said that there's a meeting held right now in Parliament. What's Iran's, how does Iran look at this? Well, I said this was asked several times. I ask you to allow me not to make any prejudgments. All their approaches and attitudes are being observed and they're being looked into. And measures proportionate to facts on the ground will be taken. We will not act based on our emotions and feelings, but the proportionate measure, what measure to take, is being studied now. I have no permission to comment at this point, and just now I said that there is a heated debate in Parliament right now, and they're looking into all the aspects of this issue. And like I said, At the same time, some Western officials say, and also some American officials say, they said we're not ready to, they said we don't want to engage in a political football, but that's not true. Reality is different. There was one statement in the remarks of those people, Western claimants of democracy. There was no sentence, no statement in their comments to invite people to democracy. Not even one statement was mentioned. For your information, we observed it all, we monitored all what they said. They never invited people to do things based on law and legally. If there are going to be some protests in their own countries, even regarding the same issue, police has not issued a permit. They did not allow them to have the rally in their own countries. Why don't they find that the same story inside Iran? Why didn't they treat us the same way? This is a racial mentality that Iranians belong to the third world. We shouldn't talk about law and regulations with them, but we belong to the first class. We're first class citizens, and therefore you should have permits from police to have a rally. This is a dual standard. On one side, Americans say we don't have a political football. On the other side, they never determine among the rioters who say we are supporters of candidates. This is a lie. It's quite clear that the people of the 10 million people of Iran, it's clear when the Iranian population stands and where maybe 2,000-3,000 people who take to streets. There is a difference between Iran's population and those 2,000-3,000 people who take to streets. This is not the first election in Iran. Everywhere they respect the electoral monitors and observers. Well, the experience of election in Iran has happened several times so far, and the election result has nothing to do with people's, the monitors' biases and inclinations. Within this very observing system and the executive electoral system, several times power was transferred from one person to another. The Guardian Council sometimes had a share in this. Sometimes reformists came into power, sometimes conservatives or other groups came to power. This is the historical record that we have had in the election, and no such a thing happened. Two terms of presidential tenure for President Khatami also emerged from the same legal mechanism, from this with Guardian Council observing it. The second and third parliament also emerged from the very same electoral mechanism. Councils vote, for example, like the second city council election, while the interior ministry was in charge, and they were on the principalist camp, if you call it, and I was a representative myself, and we were the observers by parliament, and the result was the city council, who belonged to the conservative principalist camp, and then they chose Mr. Ahmadinejad as mayor. This is what has happened in Iran in the past 30 years. It never happened in Iran. We didn't have anything to in which we nullified the election results. Our people know when the third parliament was formed. Of course, at that time, there were different inclinations and biases. I'm not going to actually, as a my capacity as foreign ministry spokesman, to enter such domestic internal issues, but like French Sarkozy says, the election results must be nullified. Well, he should ask his ambassadors and other experts. In this country, at one time, there was an inclination, that is the winning inclination, they wanted to actually nullify the election results in the third parliament election, and the late imam withstood them firmly and did not allow the election results of the third parliament to be nullified. How can a Western president like French president ask for nullification of the election, whereas they know what has happened in the course of history in Iran and the late imam's resistance against it at the time of the third parliament election in Iran? Therefore, I really regret that such comments force us to touch on domestic and family issues, and also it paves the way for making such irrelevant comments. So I'd like to stress that such issues, the media hype and also intelligence issues, people are sensitive about such interference. In the past 2-3 days, we witnessed that in some European countries due to some organized riots. Some damage was done to our diplomatic missions in some countries, for example, in Germany. Given the protocols existing between the countries, what will the Iranian foreign ministry, what reaction will the Iranian foreign ministry show? Well, given the fact that the software system and the security control, unlike third world countries in Europe, the system is really, there is no privacy in Western countries. That's what they say, given this technology. Nobody has privacy. That means in the West, for your information, you should know that they announce some websites and some, they sell some special software in which all your emails, your comments, all your moves and everything which is recorded on cameras. They, even they tell the diplomats, if you want to know what your family members are doing, we can give you the software at this price. Anyone who lives in the West, we have lived there, we have had our missions there, we know how harshly they control every move of people, and there is nothing about freedom of speech. It's almost built next to nothing in the West. They officially announce, some countries announce that if you pay this much price, we'll have all your emails, all your telephone conversations, we'll sell all these to you. And we have document and proof to prove this. They seriously control every move of the individuals. We don't think that without police supervision to counterfeit what they call black-headed. You know, there's a division. They call themselves white-headed. They call immigrants and Muslims black-headed in the West. These are the control. They have special control mechanisms for what they call black-headed people, and they have passed it in their parliament. You know, after the EU decision, there is full control over black-headed and immigrants. And in their official reports in the EU, reports on discrimination, they have announced that this trend is on the rise. And we don't think that without government's consent and local police, anybody can attack any diplomatic mission. This is against, in contradiction to diplomatic conventions. And the country where the diplomatic mission is stationed is obliged to provide the security of the diplomats in that country. Therefore, we protest this, and within legal international framework, we will take necessary measures. We can never accept anyone in Europe or in America to say that we were not informed of such attacks, and we cannot comment on that. This is not acceptable at all. For sure, everything is controlled. Nobody has any individual privacy and freedom. How can such attacks take place without their knowledge, especially terrorists who are being controlled there, and if they're terrorists or any other groups? Therefore, this is not at all acceptable, and it stems from their dual approach. Press TV reporters asking the question regarding the news a few days ago to the effect that Iran's properties were confiscated by the British government. Well, this is nothing new. The statistics is the one that was announced before, based on the sanctions mechanism, which is illegal in our opinion and contradicts international law. We have no new information, no new report on this, but we said that we will look into the issue. We told our embassy to look into the issue and give us the result. The number of the ballot boxes that were in our embassies in outside of Iran, how many ballot boxes did we have, and what about the votes cast? How many votes were cast outside of Iran? Of course, I said this before, maybe there were 380-plus ballot boxes outside of Iran. Nothing is hidden. Last time I was an ambassador myself in Sweden, and I held the election there based on electoral law. the polling stations, that means embassies, they have no right to announce these, but they report everything to the Interior Ministry, and inside the country, the Interior Ministry announces from town to town, gives you the result one by one. Outside the country, the same happens. This is announced by the Interior Ministry. I saw in the IRIB website that all our missions and embassies and all the details of the votes have been announced. Nothing is hidden from public eyes. We hear that Faiz Hashemi, a Saudi prince, has proposed to Faiz Hashemi to marry. This is what we heard, and they said, we hear that she's been arrested. What will happen to our relations with Saudi Arabia? Will be freed in Iran? I don't think these domestic issues, these are the right things to issue. She's married and she's got kids. This is not the right way to speak about her like that. Iran's Parliament Speaker, Mr. Larijani, had his comments to the effect that with some Western countries, we'll review our relations with some Western countries. You have talked about this, I know, but could you elaborate more on Iran's? Well, I said that this issue is being discussed in Parliament. I repeated this several times. Let's wait for the result to be announced. The points that the people in the West did, they said they accused us that the reporter's visa that is extended, why we don't extend it, the one, the visas that are expired, if I remember, 117 news agencies and reporters, fixed reporters, are stationed in Tehran, some of whom are present in this meeting. Some of the media interference of theirs is really unacceptable. We all remember that 2 years ago, before, after the killing of two African nationals in France, you remember the riots. It was hundreds of times as much as what happened, the riots happened in Tehran. Did BBC ever mention the French crisis? They mentioned Iran's issue, Iran crisis. Did CNN ever at that time cut its normal course of program and allocate 20 hours to French crisis? This is the CNN's schedule. They officially train the people to come and hack Iran's government website. This is the English text. I can give it to you. This is a cyber war. This with, isn't it a cyber war of a media with an independent government? They ask people to use the DOS system to hack our websites. Websites like ISNA, they have hacked these people who are claimants of freedom of expression and flow of, and free flow of information. They officially train people to hack the websites of the government and the foreign ministry so that we have our interactions with you people are cut off. Isn't this interference, official interference? This is a hasty measure in an amateurish way. They have crisis room in BBC and CNN. Well, BBC Persian and VOA, they're following their own way. They know that those who are running these people, they are related to Netanyahu and the and Zionism, and also Mr. Lieberman. They're the spiritual kids of Lieberman and Netanyahu, and their aim to weaken our solidarity and disintegrate Iran. That's what they're after. And this is what's been told the BBC Persian and VOA to pursue after their budget was ratified in the U.S. Congress. So everyone who's working there, they're pursuing these objectives, either weakening Iran's unity or disintegrate this country, which this will never happen due to our people's vigilance. Such interference are happening, and they call us people who are closed-minded, who are against the free flow of information. We are experts and analysts ourselves. We have lived in the West. We have had our foreign missions there. We know what foreign media mean and how control is being done in the West. We have expert information on that. But what decisions we'll make, let's wait. Well, we will review our ties. They have also announced that Iran needs these ties, especially to have relations with Western countries and with European Union countries. This decision must be made the right way. How will this decision making be made? Will we do it the right way? Well, I said various aspects of the issue is being examined, and we will let you know about it. They are being discussed. I cannot announce you about the results of something that is being discussed. Could you specifically say that expulsion of ambassadors is part of the options? I cannot approve of such a thing at this stage. Everything is subject to the decision that is going to be made. What happened in Tehran the past few days? Well, many people are troubled by that. As foreign minister, don't you want to ask the security forces to keep self-restraint? Look, the first priority of each country, if that country enjoys political development and civil society, if they have a democratic system, the first issue is security. No country will deal with other issues and then talk about security. First, security must be there, and then you can talk about election and freedom and human rights and democracy and other such issues. What's for sure is, like last night you were witness yourself, there was no violent act yesterday. There has been no security or military move. But on TV screen you have seen the clash between police and those countries or government of human rights and freedom in the West. You can draw a comparison yourself. I give you the example of France, and then before that it was the Britain and elsewhere. How do they treat people and rioters? And then look at the patience of our police force, and you can see the difference yourself with the tools and equipment they use at violent times, at G8 summit and other such summits. You can see how people, how protests are crushed. We have been witness to these ourselves. They exaggerate about police clash with street rioters. We have law in the country. What do they do in the West in such incidents? If somebody holds an illegal rally, you know that based on the traffic which is caused, they fine people. They find them that they have to pay the rioter or anyone behind it. In the West, they say, okay, you had a check, you could not cash it. Then they calculate how much damage, and then or you are stuck in heavy traffic, or there are some people, less privileged people in the country, if they work, if they have no possibility to work, to make money, they cannot win their family bread, and due to these rallies, they cannot, for example, drive their taxes and make money. All these are calculated. You know all this. All of these are calculated, and then they claim this money. They confiscate their properties, or they get cash. This is what they do in the West. How can they have a dual standard toward us? All these are calculated in due time. Maybe it takes 1 year. It changes into dossiers and records. Patients, for example, suffered from this, or people, businessmen could not make enough money due to such rallies. This is what they do in the West. We have seen this. How can you expect something else from Iran in such incidents? Some opportunists, they are not part of the Iranian great family. You should separate them. We are solving a family issue. We respect each and every vote of the 40 million electorate. The Iranian foreign ministry is impartial. We respect all the votes of the people, as the leader said. But this dual standard should not be implemented. Thank you very much.
Well, that was a press or Iran Foreign Ministry briefing there from Iran's Foreign Ministry spokesman Hassan Ghashghavi. Overall, just to sum it up real quick, blame the recent post-election turmoil across Iran on foreign interference, which he elaborated on quite deeply, especially United States and British media outlets in this case. Many questions were thrown there. He mentioned a couple of media outlets, Voice of America, the BBC, and also CNN, and as to how different analysis and viewpoints have been reported by these stations that which serve as mouthpieces of their respective governments, but sowing discord is what their aim is in this country. And in that regard, overall evidence has been presented to Parliament, Hassan Gashqawi said, in order to analyze and digest what has been going on and to see what actions, if any, will be taken. And again, reiterated the fact that news outlets are seeking to stir up ethnic discord across Iran. Interesting that he said that there have been websites, government-run websites, along with other media websites that have been hacked by hackers in the name of freedom of expression, as he called it. And he said that he actually showed up stationary by CNN in which there were instructions to that effect. And at the end, just to go over what he said on street clashes and violence and the alleged use of force, he said, first of all, there is a ban on holding rallies and that security forces are there to make sure that peace is maintained and also to make sure that there's no vandalism that's taking place. Of course, we're going to elaborate more on this in our news bulletin, which is due now, in which we will start first with what has been going on. Well, at this point, calm has returned to the streets of the Iranian capital, Tehran, one day after over a dozen people lost their lives during protests. The latest pictures show that the traffic is normal on the capital, Tehran, and their streets in the capital, which has been seeing scenes of clashes between security forces and protesters just a day earlier. Officials said casualties occurred after terrorist elements infiltrated the rallies. Tehran's police chief has dismissed claims that security forces opened fire on protesters on Saturday. He says the police are not authorized to use weapons against people. Pictures show the protesters attacked security forces who were trying to disperse them. Rioters set fire to a mosque, two gas stations, and a military post in western Tehran. Groups of people took to the streets despite a ban on holding rallies and police warnings. Reports say hundreds of people have been arrested in this connection. Meanwhile, the defeated candidate, Mir Hossein Mousavi, has once again called on the Guardian Council to nullify the vote. Mousavi was absent from the council's Saturday meeting held to look into his complaints. Former President Mohammad Khatami has urged the formation of a neutral committee in order to examine the complaints. He has also demanded the release of those arrested in recent street riots.